Our scripture reading is Psalm 127. Psalm 127, and our text is verse 1. We will read the entire psalm. Except the Lord build the house, they labor in vain that build it. Except the Lord keep the city, the watchman waketh but in vain. It is vain for you to rise up early, to sit up late, to eat the bread of sorrows, for so he giveth his beloved sleep. Lo, children are an heritage of the Lord, and the fruit of the womb is his reward. As arrows are in the hand of a mighty man, so are children of the youth. Happy is the man that hath his quiver full of them. They shall not be ashamed, but they shall speak with the enemies in the gate. And thus far we read the Holy Scriptures. Again, the text is verse 1. Except the Lord build the house, they labor in vain that build it. Except the Lord keep the city, the watchman waketh but in vain. Beloved congregation, this evening, with the sermon tonight, we begin a series of sermons on the topic of the Christian home. And this series will be a looser series in that it won't be drawn from any one particular book, but will aim to take and look at various texts throughout the Scriptures that touch upon the Christian home and the life of the family. And so our aim in this series will be to cover much ground, rather than looking very, very closely and spending a long time on marriage, for example, as in a marriage series. We will spend a couple of sermons on marriage and then move on to other topics in the family. And it is our hope then to cover many of the important topics connected with Christian family life. Marriage, but not only marriage, parenthood, the single life, the calling of young people and the calling of elderly saints, Christian friendships, as well as some of the difficult situations and troubles that can arise in family life, how to deal with wayward family members, how to overcome conflict in the family, strife. Many such topics will be our aim. And there are many reasons for having a series of this sort on the Christian home. This is a topic that we can't hear enough of because home life is one of the core parts of our life here in this world. We're all members of a family. We all have family relationships. And where things are going well, our family relationships are often some of our closest relationships. God created us to live in family, and God gives family as a gift, and God cares about our family. And thus there is much good reason to study what the Word of God has to say about the family. But there's also the fact that the devil is relentlessly attacking the Christian family. That, of course, has happened throughout all of the ages, but it is happening a lot today. And the devil deploys the many weapons that our modern day affords him. The weapons of technology, the weapons of the changing norms of our society. And so as we build Christian homes in our day and age, we face many dangerous temptations and many challenges. And thus hearing from the Word of God will strengthen us to build godly homes and defend our homes against the attacks of the devil. The Word of God equips us. It is sufficient to equip us with everything we need. Everything for our family life, to live a godly family life, to have flourishing relationships in our families. And so we turn to the Word of God with that as our intention and as our hope, that as we look at selections from the Scriptures, we all together may grow and be strengthened in our lives as Christian families, whatever form our family may take. And so we begin that tonight. And Psalm 127 verse 1 is a very fitting text for a kind of general introduction to a series on the Christian family. Psalms 127 and 28 are sometimes called the family psalms because they have as their main focus the blessedness of the God-centered, God-fearing family. And Psalm 127, verse 1, especially focuses on the labor of building and maintaining and strengthening the God-fearing, God-centered home. And so we take this text as a kind of doorway by which we enter into the series that will be before us, a general introduction to the Christian family and our labor of building our families. And indeed, every one of us in some way or another is involved in such family building labor. Whether we are married or unmarried, parents or not, young or old, we're members of a family. And therefore, this text speaks to us as it speaks about the building of the family. The text then focuses our attention on that labor of building, and it's very striking how the text does so. The text tells us that we must be laboring to build and to keep our Christian homes. But the text also tells us that unless God builds and God keeps, all of our labors will be vain. And so we want to, as we begin this series, look at the labor of home building, but also connect it to God. For without God, and without His work, and without His grace, all of our efforts will come to nothing. So that is the aim of the sermon tonight. A general look at the labor of building our homes in dependence on God. Let's consider then Psalm 127 under the theme, Building a Blessed Christian Home. Notice in the first place, building our home. Secondly, keeping our home. And finally, prospering our home. Except the Lord build the house, they labor in vain that build it. We begin tonight by looking at the house that the text speaks about. The text is about a house and the building of that house. And really, the text talks about the house with two figures. It speaks of the house, but then also of the city. And as we'll see as we go through this text, those two figures are really describing the same reality of the God-fearing home. When we read of the house in the text, we're not talking about a wood and brick structure. We're talking about the people, the group of people that live in that house, the family. Proof of this is clear from the text. First place, the Hebrew word for house here is very often used to mean family. When Joshua declares to the Israelites in Joshua 24, verse 15, as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord, he's not talking about a brick building, he's talking about his family. When God called Noah, come thou and all thy house into the ark, in Genesis 7, verse 1, he wasn't calling Noah to pick up a building and bring it into the ark. He's speaking about the family. But the clearest proof comes from the context of Psalm 127. Except the Lord build the house, they labor in vain that build it. And now verses 3, 4, and 5 go on to talk about that house. Verses 3, 4, and 5 are about the bringing forth of children and the place of children in the Christian home. And that shows us that what the psalmist has in mind here is first and foremost the family unit. And so, having established that, let's look at what the biblical concept of the family is. What is a house according to God's word? Well, a home or family is the most basic unit of human society, of human life and human relationship. The home, our family, is a structured body of people who share a common life together and who are bound together by the bonds of blood and also the bonds of law. A family is a legal unit. We're legally a family. That's important, for example, when there are children adopted into a family. They are just as much members of that family as the biological children. The family is a group of people, a structured body that shares common life together and that is bound together by the bond of blood, by law, and especially by spiritual life. And we'll talk more about that in a moment. The family is one of God's first creations. In fact, it was one of the first things God did after he had finished creating the world. It was making family. God created Eve. And then what was the first thing that God did after creating Eve? He brought Eve to Adam. He married Eve and Adam. And Adam and Eve then became the very first family. And there God began what would be the basic unit of human society in this world thereafter, the family. And God delighted in the family. It was part of his original design for the human race, and it is part of his design for his redeemed people as they live in the church here in this world. Family, a basic unit of society. That is what Scripture has to say about the home. Now, the Christian home can take many different forms, various forms according to God's providence. Ordinarily, God puts a home together by uniting a man and a woman together in the bond of marriage, a husband and a wife. And then from that one flesh union of marriage, the Lord, according to his providence, brings forth children who are additions to that home and build that home as children are added to that home. But that's not the only form that God gives to his Christian families according to his providence. There is the home of the married man and the married woman whom the Lord has not given children. There is the home of the single parent who, because of unjustly being forsaken or because of the death of a spouse, raises children as a single parent. There is the home of the single member of God's people who is not married. There is the home of the elderly, of grandparents, or empty nesters, as we would call them, whose children have gone on and established their own homes. And many other forms of the family could be given. The point is, all of these are still covenant Christian homes. Whatever form in God's providence they take, they are a home, a family. But now we get to the heart of what a home is, a family. The heart of the family is shared life, but especially shared spiritual life. The Christian home is a covenant home. Indeed, very clearly we can see that the Christian home, the family, is a creation of God that's patterned after God's own life within himself. Our God is a family God. He lives eternally within himself as a God of fellowship, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. He lives in relationship. And God has structured then the very basic unit of human society to reflect who he is. God is a family God, a God of fellowship, of shared life. And that's the heart of the family also. The home is a place of fellowship, knit together by love and commitment to one another, unique love and commitment. The love of a husband and a wife, which is unique among human loves. The precious bond, love of parent for child, of brother for sister. These family bonds are unique. This family fellowship is unique. This is the heart of family life. But at the heart of the heart is their shared spiritual life. The home of the unbeliever lacks the heart of the heart of family life. And that's fellowship with God. God not only created the family to have relationship horizontally, but God created the family to live in relationship with him too. And that's the Christian home. At the heart of the Christian home and at the heart of the Christian home is that fellowship with God. The family not only lives together with one another, sharing their life with one another, but they live with God together. They share that which is above all most important, life with God, the new life of Christ, faith, true Christian love. They fellowship with God together. And this is the bond that is far deeper and far more beautiful even than blood. It's the bond of the covenant of grace. And the family, the Christian family, is a unique and beautiful picture of the covenant of grace, God's covenant of grace. And so we see then that the Christian home is a temple. It's the dwelling place of God. It is a place where God's people fellowship with Him together as a family. The home is a spiritual dwelling place of God. And that's implied here in the text. There's a double reference in the word house here. The psalm, Psalm 127, was written most likely by Solomon. It's disputed whether it was written by David or by Solomon, but the point is, the historical reference in this psalm is to the building of the temple of God. That's in the background here. That was the great house that Solomon built. That was the great house that David had in mind and desired to build until the Lord told him his son would build it. But the Christian family is also a temple, a spiritual house, a place where God dwells with his people and his people dwell with him and worship him. That's the deepest heart of the Christian home, life and fellowship with God. So we've seen that the home is a group of people who share life together, who are bound together by blood, by law, and by shared spiritual life and fellowship with God. But finally, let's also see that the Christian home is a structured and orderly home. God is the creator of the family unit, and God is a God of order. We see this in the institution of marriage. In the beginning, God created the institution of marriage. He determined what marriage is and how men and women would live in marriage. And the same is true of the family. God is the giver of children. God determines how children are raised in the family. God has designed the family and given it structure. And that structure is revealed in His Word and in His law. For example, God reveals that there is to be an authority structure in the home. It is not a chaotic mess. It has a structure. Parents are given authority over their children to teach and to raise and to discipline. The husband and father is the head of the home, called to lead and to serve his family. The wife and mother is called to be a helper to her husband and to nurture the children that the Lord gives them. There is structure. And that structure is so important. It is in that structure that there is flourishing, that relationships grow and develop properly, that children learn and grow to be good citizens of the kingdom of heaven. Biblical structure to the Christian home. So that's the home, the idea of the Christian family. But now the text focuses our attention on labor. The labor of building a Christian, God-fearing home. The family does not simply pop into existence. It must be built. And it must be built through diligent and dedicated labor. The text emphasizes this. Except the Lord build the house, they labor in vain that build it. Now, the text clearly teaches that Jehovah is the one that builds the Christian home. And He does this by His grace. We're going to look at that more in the third point. But let us not miss the fact that the text reveals We labor. They labor that build it. Now, of course, Jehovah must build. He must build the house. If we build our homes without Jehovah, without God in the picture, without looking to His Word, without depending on Him, our building efforts are going to be utterly vain and come to ruin. That's the point of the text. But this does not mean that we have no work to do. This does not mean that God calls us to sit back, do nothing when it comes to our home life, and wait for God to construct our families. No, our calling is not to say, well, God is sovereign, God builds the house, so there's nothing for me to do. God calls us to labor, to build. God is a God who uses means. God builds the Christian home through the means of our diligent and dedicated labor. We have that calling. And the word labor there in the text emphasizes that. It means exert oneself to strain every fiber of your being in work that is almost toilsome. The point that it gets across is that this is hard work. We're called to hard work of building our homes. It's not easy. It requires sacrifice. It's hard. We must not think it's going to be easy. We ought to expect to be hard and difficult at times. Now, this labor of home building is a labor that we're all involved in, one way or another. We're all members of a family. Now, husbands and wives, mothers and fathers, we can see how most directly they are involved in the labor of home building. A new home begins with a marriage. A man and a woman leave father and mother and cleave to one another. There begins a home. And the calling of husband and wife then is to build their home. To build their home, first of all, by building their marriage. That marriage bond is the foundation of that home. Parents, when the Lord gives children, you are called to build your home by raising those children in the fear of the Lord. But also, a married couple who does not have children, they build their home as they build their marriage, as they serve in the church and help other families build their homes. Those whose children are out of the home, grandparents, you still build a home as you help your children raise your grandchildren, perhaps. And as you still, in your later years of life, continue building your own marriage, we are all building a home, whether directly or indirectly, all throughout our earthly life. And its labor can be hard labor. So what exactly does this home-building labor consist of? Let's look at that more closely. Really, there's two ideas in the word building here in the text. When we build a home or build a family, there's the idea of constructing, putting together, but also the idea of strengthening that which is built or put together. And so when we are building our homes, it's the labor of putting together the family and strengthening the family. And this can be viewed from both a physical, but especially a spiritual point of view. There is a physical aspect to the building of a family, the building of a house. The bringing forth of children is the foremost example. The providing for your family. But the spiritual is on the foreground. Home building is above all a spiritual labor, the labor of spiritual formation, forming the life of the home in a Godward direction, working, raising our children, shaping and forming them in a Godward direction, spiritual formation, spiritual strengthening. That's home building. When we build a home, we have to have a foundation. We have to have a foundation. That's part of the figure here. As we labor to build a home, we're building a house. A house has to be on a solid foundation. And so what we must see is that the foundation then of the Christian home can only be one thing. That foundation must be Christ, God, as He is revealed in His Word, the Word of God. Only the family whose life is built on the Word of God, whose relationships are built on that foundation, will stand and hold together and be strong. Think of Jesus' parable of the wise and foolish builders. How it connects here to the building of our families and our home lives. Remember the wise builder. What did he do? He constructed his house on a solid rock. And when the storms, the rains, the heavy winds blew and crashed against that house, the house stood firm on the rock. And Jesus explained what that rock was. It was His Word. The wise man was the man who heard Jesus' sayings and did them. But then there was the foolish builder. And the foolish builder constructed his house on the sand. A foundation with no stability. A foundation that shifts and moves. When the rains came and the winds came and the storms came, what happened to that house? It fell. And great was the fall of it, said Jesus. The point being, the family that is built on, that's based on anything other than the solid rock of God's Word is an unstable home, and a home that is bound at one point or another to come crashing down. There is only one foundation, the Word of God. And thus we are to take that Word of God. That is to be the foundation of our family life. That will be the solid, stable foundation to build a healthy family, to raise our children, to live in marriage, and all of the rest. Lay the foundation of God's Word. But then when we build a house, we build on top of that foundation. We add boards together and bricks together and build a house. So it is with our family life. What are the boards and the bricks of our family life? It's again the Word of God. We make the Word the absolute law in our homes. God's Word is what shapes our family life, our family time, our family entertainment. God's Word has pride of place, the center of our home. We build our home by living according to that Word, letting that Word determine how we live in marriage, how we conduct ourselves towards our husband or our wife, towards our children. The Word. We build on the foundation by applying that Word to our lives. We build on the foundation by having a Word-controlled outlook in our family life. That means, as we build our family, as we build our house, what's our focus? What's our priority? What are our goals? What are the things that we teach our children to prize and to pursue? As we build our home, we let the Word of God control those priorities, those goals. We teach our children to look to God's Word to show them the right and good path of life. A Word-controlled outlook means a God-centered family life. God-centered priorities. The things that God prizes are the things we prize. The treasures of our home and our home life are the treasures of God and the kingdom of heaven. We give priority to spiritual things, to church, to family worship, to prayer. And all of our family life shows this. When we look in the world today, we can see how easily the priorities and goals of a family can be misdirected towards other things. And this is not something we're immune to. Take the example of the observance of the Sabbath day, how in so much of the church world this has become so lax. Sabbath days become a day of seeking one's own pleasure. Church is good, spiritual things are good, but family time is used as an excuse to set those things aside and pursue other things that the family enjoys doing. A shift in priority. And the children grow up with this shift in priority, that there are other things more important, pursuing this or that in life, this pleasure, wealth, whatever it may be. And spiritual life slowly dwindles, and the home loses its God center. And what happens? The home tends to scatter, to break down. The spiritual focus is lost, because something else is at the center of the family life. Not only build on the foundation, the Word of God, but make sure all of the life in that home is directed according to the Word of God. But many other things could be said with regard to building our homes, building our families on the foundation of God's Word. It's growing in marriages. It's praying and teaching our children to pray. It's having family devotions. It's teaching our children to sing. It's loving the church. It's building the church as pillars into our home life. And so many more examples could be given. And these will be things that we will look at more closely as we continue through the series. Building a Christian home. But there's another aspect to this work that the text brings out. The labor of the Christian in the home is building the home, but also keeping the home. Keeping the home. And here we come to the second figure that we have in the text. We read in Psalm 127, verse 1, "Except the Lord build the house, they labor in vain that build it. Except the Lord keep the city, the watchman waketh but in vain." Here we have a change of figure from the house to the city. But the city here is still describing the Christian home, the Christian family. And this figure tells us something more about our labor in building the home. Not only must we build a Christian home, but we must keep, preserve that Christian home. And in order to show us this, the text uses the figure of a city. You can picture a city. A cluster of houses encircled by walls. And these walls serve to protect the city from danger. The dangers that roam around in the countryside, round about the city. And on these walls there are stationed watchmen, day and night. And these watchmen are called to walk the length of the walls, to watch, to be observant, to look out for any threats that might come and threaten the life of the inhabitants of that city. The walls and the watchmen keep the city safe. Now, the main idea of this second figure is this. As we build our Christian homes, we must also keep those homes and guard the family life in those homes from all of the dangers that are out there in the world and also the dangers found in our own sinful flesh. Our labor is not only home building, it's home keeping. There are a lot of enemies that want to destroy the Christian home. And as we build, those enemies are working tirelessly to tear down what is being built. There are threats and dangers everywhere. The devil, our great adversary, is seeking for ways to attack and damage Christ's church. He's always seeking. And the devil understands, of course, that one of the best ways to get at the church is to get at the Christian home. He understands that he can deal great harm to Christ's body by attacking the Christian home. And indeed, Satan hates the Christian home. He sees our homes as outposts of God's kingdom in his kingdom here below. He claims to be the ruler of this world, the kingdom of darkness. And he sees our homes as little outposts of the kingdom of heaven. And he wants to get rid of them. He wants to destroy them. And above all, he wants to absorb them into his own kingdom. And so he works relentlessly to undermine, to destroy, to convert your home and mine. And the devil uses the world as one of his main weapons to destroy our homes. And that is one of the foremost dangers that we face today as we live in this world, the culture in which we live, which is so anti-Christian. The world is not our friend. The world is not our children's friend. The world wants to devour our children. The world wants to allure us from the truth and bring us into the kingdom of darkness and have us join them in their excess of riot. Make no mistake, the world is not our friend. The world comes, not always with outright persecution. Indeed, in our land, it comes with more subtle weapons. Its values, its self-centered outlook on life, its entertainment. The world whispers its lies about what is good, what a good marriage is, what a good home life is. The world allures, the promise of wealth and earthly treasures. And the world, as Satan's agent, seeks to get inside our homes and attack from the inside. Therefore, just like a fortified city, our homes must have protective walls. There's the idea of the figure. Our homes must have walls that protect the life within it against the attacks of the devil and the world. Not that these walls completely cut us off from the world. We are called to live in the world, even as we are not of the world. And of course, world flight never helps holiness because we take the world with us in our own sinful flesh. Rather, we are called to build our walls, and from those walls, to keep our home, to be watchmen, spiritually sober, watchmen, watching on the walls of our homes. That's what you are, parents. You're watchmen. You're called, as you build your home, to make sure there are walls, physical but also spiritual walls, around your children, around your family. Husbands and wives, you're watchmen on the walls of your home. You're looking out to protect your spouse, your family. Vigilant watchmen. We build our homes, and we are called to keep our homes. Now, what are a few practical ways that we keep our Christian homes, even as we build them? Call your attention to three briefly. In the first place, we keep our homes by maintaining the walls that we build. Go back to the figure of the city. What happens in a time of prosperity, when a city is affluent, when there seems to be no danger around, and people forget why there were walls around the city? Those walls fall into disrepair. People aren't concerned about the cracks in the wall, the weak part of the foundation, the crumbling stones, because those walls don't seem like they're necessary. But then a sudden enemy shows up, and the people are unprepared, and the walls are insufficient to defend the city against the enemy. The point being, in times when there seems not to be a threat, we must not be lulled into sleepiness. Maintain the walls of your home, those protective walls. But in the second place, not only maintain the walls of your home, but guard the gates of your home. The gate is where the enemy will try to sneak in. It's the easiest way in. He'll try the gate before he tries breaking down your wall. In our day and age, our homes have so many more gates than they did in the past. We must know the enemy. We must know the gates of our own home. Every single screen we have in our house, every smartphone, every computer screen, every TV screen is a gate into our home. Are we guarding those gates? Are we watchful? Do we understand the dangers out there so that we are prepared to protect our Christian homes even as we build them? Guard the gates. Beware of the enemies that seek entrance through those gates. Maintain the walls. Guard the gates. Finally, we keep the home by building our home inside the city of God. Now, what do we mean by that? Well, here's another idea in the figure of keeping the city. Where is the Christian home built? Talking now from a spiritual perspective. Not a lonely house out there in the countryside, but the Christian home is pictured here as built inside the city, inside the city of God, inside Zion, inside the church. The idea being, as we build our homes, we build them close to the homes of fellow believers. We build our homes and live our family life in close connection with other Christian homes because this is a powerful means for guarding and keeping our home. We don't want to be lonely out there in the countryside, surrounded by the enemies, all by ourselves. The Christian builds his home, builds his walls inside of Zion, so that he not only has the walls of his house, but he has the walls of Zion around his house. Extra fortification. And what a help that is. Parents, as watchmen, when you patrol the walls of your house, you're not alone. There's the watchman on the walls of Zion. There's your fellow believers who live right next door. And together, we build. And together, we keep our homes. Here's the connection to the communion of the saints. We live as families, yes, but we live as families within the family of faith. And so build your homes within Zion's walls, where there is the preaching of the gospel, that trumpet which warns of danger, that trumpet which instructs us, that trumpet which brings knowledge for the building of our homes and the strengthening of our walls. Build your home and keep your home in Zion, where your children can have catechism instruction to further strengthen them as they grow up in this wicked world. Build your home in Zion, where there are the oversight of the elders of the church, where there is mutual accountability, mutual help, protection of fellow saints. We don't keep our homes alone. We keep our homes together. So that's the labor spoken about in the text, the labor of home building, the labor of home keeping. And we're going to look at those two labors in more detail as the series goes forward. But how does all of this labor prosper? Most of the sermon tonight we focused on the labor that is ours, much labor, building a home, keeping a home, and the different facets of that labor. But now we ask the basic question, what assurance do we have that our home building and home keeping will be prosperous? The text gives the answer. God builds our homes, and God keeps our homes. God must build the home. As we have seen, yes, we must labor, but if we labor apart from God, without God in the picture, without trusting in Him, our labors will be in vain. Except the Lord build the house, they labor in vain that build it. Except the Lord keep the city, the watchman waketh but in vain. That negative expression in the text emphasizes that it is not us who cause our homes to be built. We are reminded here that we are the means in God's hand. We're reminded of a principle that must dominate all of our life in this world, not only in the family, but in work and in everything. Anything apart from God is vanity. Anything that we set our hands to, apart from God, apart from His Word, will come to nothing. Vanity is emptiness, meaninglessness, a whiff of smoke. It's the foolish man who builds his house on the sand. He builds without God. He doesn't heed the Word of God, and it comes crashing down. But just as the labor of the man who builds apart from God is utterly vain, the opposite is also true. The man who builds conscious dependence on God, the man who builds by faith, his labor is not in vain. Because God builds the Christian home, they labor not in vain that build it. And there's the encouragement for us. God blesses his people in their home building, in their home keeping. That blessing has been merited for us by Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ, who earned for us eternal salvation. Jesus Christ, who paid for our sins. Jesus Christ, whose blood covers all the weaknesses of our home building and home keeping work. Jesus Christ has secured God's blessing on his people. Jehovah builds. Jehovah keeps. Yes, there are hardships. Yes, there are struggles in our family lives, in our building, and in our keeping. But Jehovah builds. And nothing can destroy what Jehovah builds. Nothing can pluck out of his hand what he keeps. And so that is our encouragement. As we go forward, and as we look at more passages of the Scripture which teach us about the family life, how we build and strengthen our family life, we do so in conscious dependence on Jehovah, the God who builds, the God who keeps our Christian homes. May the Word tonight then encourage us that our hard labor is not in vain, for the Lord builds the house, and the Lord keeps the city. Amen. Our Lord God and Heavenly Father, we thank Thee for Thy Word, for its instruction. We pray that Thou wilt work in us and in our homes, that we may build true Christian homes, that we may keep those homes and defend them against the wiles of the devil. And yet we acknowledge that without Thee and apart from Thy work, our labor cannot prosper. Our labor is vain. But Thou dost build. Thou dost labor. Thou dost keep our homes. And in that we prosper under Thy blessing. And so strengthen us by this word. Grant us, Father, to live according to it, to build on that foundation. We ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen.